Praise the Lord, everyone. I have immense pleasure to be in your midst this morning and see some of the brothers and whom I knew from my youth, and very glad to be here. And it's a very short visit. I never expected I'll be coming to Australia, but my wife came to be with the family of my daughter, taking care of the children during the winter. So I just came down so that we can return back together. Let us now turn to the most familiar verse from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Well, I bring greetings to all of you from Shalim Prayer House, where I am serving the Lord in Visakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh. And also, I have already said, praise the Lord. And I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because I may not be staying till the end to wish you personally, because I need to go to some other place also to preach. So you have to forgive me. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 18, we all shall read together, please. Matthew's Gospel, 16 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the hell shall not prevail against it. May our loving Lord bless the reading of this portion and speak to all of us according to our spiritual need. Loving, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, in the highly exalted, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank and praise Thee. We worship Thee, we adore Thee, we glorify Thy name, for granting me this privilege to be in the midst of Thy people and share Thy word with them. Thank Thee for enabling them to gather on the Lord's table every week here at Thompson Hall. We thank Thee for the council who have been courteously granting the permission to them continuously, Lord, to gather here on every Sunday. Lord, we thank and praise Thee for the precious worship time that we could have and know how precious Thou art for us, and how Thou art shed Thine precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Thank Thee, Lord, even taking part in the Lord's table, remembering the death, burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also His ascension into heaven and coming down for the church one day. And that is the church that Thou art building. Bless this verse and speak to us. Be Thou gracious to me. According to Ezra 8:22, let Thine good hand be resting upon me. And also, Lord, we pray that according to Nehemiah 9:20, let Thine good spirit be teaching to all of us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. It's a very vital thing that Lord Jesus Christ, He is building His church. In the New Testament, in the New Old Testament, Exodus 25:8, we read like this. Lord God Almighty, He gave a commandment to the God's children to gather all the precious material and build a sanctuary. And Lord said, you build a sanctuary, I will come and dwell among you. But in the New Testament, Lord is not asking us to build anything. Lord is asking us to come unto Him. That's it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You only come to me, that's enough. He has come down from heaven to receive this fallen mankind unto Him so that He can transform us and build us as His own temple where He can dwell among us. This is God's purpose. That's why Paul the Apostle, writing to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you must know how you and the people of God to behave in the church of the living God. So this is not an ordinary church that Lord wants to build. It is a church of the living God. A living God wants to live among us. A living God wants to make us as His temple. Living God wants to make us as His habitation. Leaving the heaven, all His glory. He lives in the high and lofty places, the holy place. But at the same time, He lives among those who have the broken and contrite spirit. What a wonderful thing it is. What an assurance. That's why when we come unto the Lord in that humbleness, in that brokenness, that's why Lord Jesus Christ, when He spoke to the multitude in that popular sermon called the Sermon on the Mountain, in verse 2, Matthew 5:2, we read, Jesus opened His mouth and said, verse 3 goes like this, blessed are the humble or poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How true it is. How true it is. Lord is not asking us to come unto Him with all our great things what we are in this world. No. Put all your great things aside. Many years ago, when I was working in Secunderabad, I was given the privilege to be the NCC officer, but at the same time I need to go for the training to be commissioned. So I went to Naval Base Cochin to be trained. There was one Sadarji, his surname is Multan. He made us to stand in the parade ground. He was our parade instructor to teach us how to, do the left, right and all that parade and all. You know what he said? In Hindi he said, how many of you know Hindi? Oh, quite a few. He said, Saab log, mai to 8.5 class padha hu. Aap to bade log hain. You all have been graduates, postgraduates and things like that. But my humble plea to you all is, keep aside all your degrees. Listen to me. All these great people, postgraduates, double postgraduates, they have to keep aside their degrees and listen to a fellow who discontinued his schooling in 9th standard to learn that ground parade. It is same with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not asking us, come with all your great things, come with all your properties, come with all your wealth, come with all your money. No. He is asking us, come with the humble spirit unto me. That is enough for me. I will build my church. What a mystery it is. What a mystery. And this church, in the New Old Testament, Lord said, you bring the precious material. And Moses, you build the tabernacle. I will come and dwell among you. He did. But now, He's not asking of any such things. He said, you come to me. I will make everything out of you. What a mystery it is. Have you ever understood this? You come to me. That's enough for me. That's what Lord says. Do you have that day in your life that you have sincerely come to the throne of grace of our God and accepted Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to become a lively stone in this building process? 1 Peter 2:5 says, coming as lively stones unto me, I will build you as a spiritual house where you can offer the spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So it is a spiritual house. It is a spiritual temple. That speaks about our transformed life. Matthew 16:18 speaks about God's purpose. 1 Peter 2:5 speaks about our transformed life. We were all like a dead stones. Only physical life is there. Spiritually we are dead. Paul is writing to Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 2. We were all dead in our sins and trespasses, but he has quickened us. The power of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ quickened us from our dead status to make us the lively stones, useful in the building of his church. That is the first step in the building process of the church. The first step is a transformation. Lord is calling all of us unto him so that he can transform our lives. Without born again experience, without being having a salvation experience, God cannot build us. That's why being a believer, we always pray that our small children, the moment they are born, Lord, my child may come into the experience of the salvation. Isn't it? Because that is so important. Without which God cannot do anything with us. No, not at all. Then secondly, Lord wants to, I am thankful to God, the leading of the Spirit, that Brother Arun proposed that song, that we need to be holy. We need to be holy. This church, the bride of Christ, has to be presented unto him as a holy and acceptable. Two verses I want to bring to your notice about this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26 and 27. I'm reading, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That speaks about our salvation, what he has done for our salvation. Verse 26 and 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord wants his church, which he is building, the bride of Christ, to be holy, perfect, and presentable. Presentable unto him. When we give any presentation to somebody, any gift to somebody, what we do? We wrap it in a nice paper to look good. However, hollow it may be inside. isn't it?
However hollow it may be inside.
But we wrap it very nicely to look beautiful. Why? Anything that is presented must look beautiful. So there is no exaggeration. Christ is expecting His bride to be beautiful, His bride to be precious, His bride to be perfect, His bride to be spotless and holy, glorious. That resembles again in Book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 8. Revelation 19, 8. So fine linen, she arrayed in fine linen, which speaks about the holiness. It is clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So God is expecting, Lord Jesus Christ is expecting the members of His body to be righteous and holy. To be righteous and holy. Because He made us righteous. There is none righteous upon this earth. No human being is righteous. In the whole generation of Noah, except Noah, none was righteous. At least in his generation, God was able to find Noah. But in our generation, no one is righteous. But we praise God. All those who came to Jesus, He made them righteous. How do we become righteous? By believing in God through Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him righteousness. Abraham believed in God. So by believing in God, by trusting in God, we become righteous people. We become righteous people. So He wants to make us not only the lively stones who are transformed, but He wants to make us the holy stones. Why? He wants to make His bride, the church, beautiful. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. This is the prophecy of the millennium. Isaiah chapter 60. This is the mystery. We find the answer here. Verse 13. Shall we all read together? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. This is the purpose. Why Lord Jesus Christ wants His church to be holy and righteous, acceptable, presentable. We find the answer here. He wants to make His sanctuary beautiful. That means the beauty and the character and the mind of Christ be resembled in this church. The Lord Jesus Christ might be demonstrated among us. See, Paul the Apostle, he says something in Corinthians. I'll just try to get to that verse. That, you know, we are in King James Version, it is written, we are the spectacles unto this world. 4:9, 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. Try to understand this. A church is a spectacle, first to the world and to the angels and to men. Spectacles. Why we use spectacles? To see clearly, isn't it? To see clearly. So Lord wants to make the church as a spectacle to the world, so that through the church they may be able to see Christ crucified. Christ the builder. Christ the one sitting at the right hand of God. Christ that is preparing his kingdom for us. Christ who is coming back his church. So Lord wants to beautify his church. He wants to make us the beauty of his church. 2 Samuel 1:19 says like this, in that morning psalm of David, as he wrote that psalm when Jonathan and Saul were dead, he says, the beauty of Israel, addressing the titling Jonathan as the beauty of Israel is slain, he says. The beauty of Israel. So David considered Jonathan as a beauty of Israel. So how we can become the beauty of Israel, or a beauty of redeemed community, or the beauty of the Christianity, or the beauty of his sanctuary which he himself is building? 5 things I would discuss with you very briefly, because I have to run away and then close. First thing, these 5 qualities we see in Jonathan. Basing on the verse 2 Samuel 1:19, there, you know, Jonathan has been addressed as a beauty of Israel. Why Jonathan was beauty of Israel? First thing, he had a salvation experience. That means he trusted in the Almighty God. How do we understand? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. So when there was continuous war between Philistines and the Israelites, you know, we all know that King Saul made his son Jonathan the prince throne and made him as a captain of 1,000. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Here we see how Jonathan is a believer. Shall we all read together quickly? And Jonathan said to the young man, his armor bearer, that bear his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So from this statement we understand that Jonathan is a staunch believer in the Lord God Almighty. What he says? For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Psalm 2, last verse, it goes like this. Psalm 2, the last part. Blessed is the man, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Trust, for trusting in God, you know, in the Hebrew, the translation, we have 4 different derivatives for this. Trusting God. You know what it is? Trusting God means, first thing, to take refuge. Ruth 2:12. Boaz says to Ruth, you have come to take refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Taking refuge, first thing. Second one is to lean on, to lean on. Psalm 56:3 and also Isaiah 26:3 tells to us, God would bless all such people who will lean on Him with the perfect peace. Third derivative is to stay upon, to stay upon. That means standing on the promises of God, standing on the word of God. And fourthly, to roll our matters, to roll our matters upon Him. Psalm 55:22 says, you know, roll all your burdens upon Him. He wants to make us free. He wants to keep us free. So Jonathan, first thing, he trusted God. And second thing, he was a true Israelite. He was a true Israelite. What's the meaning of being a true Israelite? A true Israelite is the one who has no guile. See John's Gospel, chapter 1 and 47. John's Gospel, 147, all together. John's Gospel, 147, all together. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. A true Israelite is the one who has no guile. What's the meaning of guile? Guile is something. See, human beings are so peculiar. We are made of three components. That is body, soul, spirit. And we enjoy the two personalities. One is inner, another one is outer. And we have a nature that I think so many things inwardly, but I say something outwardly. That is a guile. That's a guile. A true Israelite or a true Christian is the one who is inwardly, outwardly same. Try to understand this. Inwardly, outwardly is the same. That makes a true Christian spirit. That makes a true Christian character. So Lord is expecting us to be a believer, to become a beautiful stone in His building. And secondly, a true Israelite, a true Christian who has no guile. Are we like that? Lord is expecting us to be like that. That's why whenever we come around the Lord's table, we are always asked to examine ourselves, whether this inner man, outer man, do they have the coincidence or not? Coincidence or not. That's very important. And you know, Jonathan was a person without any guile. King Saul was always having an eye on David to see the end of this man. He would say, David, come, 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 you play the music, you know, because I am so much wavering, I am sick, I am very bad and this and that. But his sole intention was to kill this man. Keep this fellow very close to him so that he can spear him. And he did that. Three times David escaped from that. But how was David brought to him? Oh, king wanted you, man. Without you, he cannot survive. When David comes, you know, Saul says, "Oh, come, son, come, come. I'm waiting for you." But Saul's intention was to kill him. But, you know, Jonathan was always carrying the reality to him. Father was having guile, but son was not having guile. So, Jonathan was a true Israelite. That's why, you know, David was mourning at his death. The beauty of Israel has been slain. The beauty of Israel has been slain. Now, thirdly, in the character of Jonathan, he was a man able to esteem others. The third character of the beauty of Israel to be is, or beauty of a Christian is, esteeming one another. First is salvation experience. Second one is true Christianity, true Israelite, without guile. Third one is esteeming one another. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Shall we all read together? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem others better than themselves. In the body of Christ, in the church, this must prevail. Among the people of God, everybody will esteem one another. Esteem the other person better than himself, better than herself. Then there won't be any place for jealousy. There won't be any place for hatredness, isn't it? When we esteem one another, there won't be any place for jealousy and, hatredness. And on one occasion, see the esteeming of Jonathan. He was esteeming David. How you see? In the practical way, he is making him equal to him. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 3 and 4 I'm reading quickly. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Try to understand the situation. Now, Jonathan started esteeming David ever since David killed Goliath. David became his hero. David became his hero. And he goes to the extent of saying, "David, you will be the king one day. I will be your deputy." What an esteem it is. What a respect he is giving to the other person. Whereas he is a throne prince, he is the son of the king, but he is giving that esteem to the other person. And in this context, you see, David is a new entrant into the army. And whereas Jonathan is a captain of 1,000. I told you, I was in NCC. In these forces, this rank and file is very important. When you see a person with a higher rank, come what may, you have to salute that man. That's it. Isn't it? Yeah. And higher rank man will be offended if the lower rank man is not saluting to him. So there is no question of esteeming one another will come in the army. Outside you may be friends, but once you are in the dress, you have to, you know, accept it. You have to accept it. And here, being a captain of 1,000, to the ordinary fellow who just entered into the army, holding the arms of his father. That means he's a helper, assistant, isn't it? He's not even given the full position of a military man, isn't it? He's only a helper. And to this helper, a captain, what he's doing? What he's doing? See, what he's doing? He stripped off his garments and giving to him. That means his official dress, being a captain, he is removing that same dress. He's not giving other dress. Okay, it's okay if he's making another dress as a captain for him and giving to him, it's fine. But he's giving his own dress, his sword, his girdle, which are very important for him. For his appearance and attire, it is very important for Jonathan, and all such things he's giving to David. And by giving to David, he's saluting naturally. That means you are on par with me, esteeming one another. That's what Paul is writing. So Jonathan, he had this character also, being a beauty of Israel. Then fourthly, if you want to be a beauty of Israel, beauty of the Christianity, beauty of the redeemed community, the fourth one, very, very important. We must be the peacemakers in the church. This is where we fail many times, miserably. What is written in Matthew's Gospel 5:9? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. For they shall be called the sons of God. And Jonathan even plays this role of peacemaking also. Now, his father Saul has taken a vow to kill David. He openly declared with other captains. Come back to, we are in 1 Samuel, right? Now come to 19th chapter. 1 Samuel 19 verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. That's it. Orders are passed. And there is no time to read the whole thing. If you read the verses down below, it is Jonathan goes to King Saul personally, negotiates with him, makes him to understand the reality and telling him, see, David has not done any harm to us. He has done good to us. Then Saul changes his version. He said, okay, I will not kill David. Let him come and join the group. What a wonderful character it is. And the fifthly, if you want to be the beauty of Israel, beauty of the Lord's sanctuary, we must be the carriers of the glad tidings. See what Jonathan is doing? 19th chapter, 1 Samuel. And he's coming to David with the glad tidings. Verse 7. And Jonathan called David. And Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul. And he was in his presence as in times past. He's bringing glad tidings. He's not sending any messenger. He himself is going with the glad tidings. David, I spoke with my father. My father is happy. No problem. You come. We will go. Restoring a person who has gone aloof from the whole group for the fear of death. That's why in Isaiah it is written prophetically. The same thing is mentioned in Nahum and also in Romans 10:15. Isaiah 52:7. See what is written about those who carry the glad tidings. Isaiah 52:7. I am closing. 52:7. Shall we all read together? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. So, beloved, to the church, Lord has given this commission to carry on these good tidings of the gospel. To carry on the good tidings of the gospel. So, Lord is building us as His church. He wants His church to be holy, righteous, lively, glorious, to beautify His sanctuary. So may God bless this world and make us understand that how important we are in His hands and in His church. Thank you so much. Loving Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify thy name. Thank you for the grace granted to me to share few things about how, why thou art building thy church. Bless this word, bless thy people. Be with them rest of the time as I have to go to rush to the Wentworthville. Lord, be thou gracious to me also. Thank thee for meeting thy people. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.